Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to One Step Ahead, a podcast presented by Nordic Islands Adventure Race and produced by Husky Production. In this podcast series, you will meet dedicated people who all share the same passion to explore new adventures in the unknown. This podcast will release one episode monthly until August 2018.
This is Kyle Peter. I am the captain of Team Adventure Medical Kits. We are an elite adventure racing team. Now, we've been racing in all corners of the world for the past maybe 6 or 7 years, and I've been adventure racing for the past 13 years now. I got my start doing very short sprint adventure races, 2 or 3 hours, a lot of urban races, and always had the yearning to do more, harder races, challenge myself, push my limits, and at the same time visit really unique parts of the world that I wouldn't get to see otherwise. In 2015, our team headed to the dead center of South America. We went to Brazil to race in the 2015 Adventure Racing World Championships. The World Championships are our favorite race of the year, the most competitive races with teams all around the world. Some of our big competitors, teams from Sweden, teams from New Zealand, South Africa. We go head to head for race courses that are usually 4 to 6 days long. Nonstop fun, nonstop suffering at times. And friends often ask why we keep coming back to these races when we share stories like I'm about to share today. But really the answer is that adventure and that teamwork and that camaraderie to push forward is really what draws us. It draws me into the sport. And it was maybe 3 or 4 days into this race in Brazil. And we knew this area we were going to. This wasn't your vacation beach Brazil trip. We were deep in the center of Brazil in an area called the Pantanal, which is a giant floodplain. And it essentially is used for ranching and different farming. But depending on the time of year that you're there, the water can be flooded ankle deep, knee deep, and then sometimes chest deep. And we had a 20-hour trek through this area. And to kind of paint the picture, we had just gone through 4 days of 41 degrees Celsius heat, maybe 42 degrees Celsius heat. My teammate, Mary Chandler, who's never fazed by hot temperatures, she's always the one sharing water and taking care of her teammates. Even she was laying down in the small creeks we would find on certain treks just to cool herself down. So there were times where we were concerned about safety with how hot it was in this environment. And there were alligators everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere you would look, you would see an alligator on these treks. We were told in a pre-race briefing that they were friendly. They were like seeing stray dogs. I've come across some angry stray dogs in my racing days, especially in South America. So of course, you know, being from Northern California, we were a little leery of walking within just a few meters of alligators. And so by the time we got to this swampland flooded trek, we were actually pretty callous to seeing alligators. We would walk by them and we'd just say, "Oh, shoo, alligator," and then kind of move out of the way and we'd continue on the trek. But as we were walking, it wasn't like walking on your typical track. It was like walking in a river, walking in a creek. And we started and it seemed like we were walking upstream. There was a sandy bottom. The water was actually fairly clear, even though parts of this area were swampy and muddy. But we were seeing all kinds of fish swimming beneath us. Of course, snakes, which I'm not a fan of. And believe it or not, we were nowhere near an ocean, but there were stingrays also swimming. And because of the stingrays, it was very important to lead with a trekking pole or to shuffle your feet. We didn't want to step directly on a stingray. Their barb would come up and get the back of our ankle, which did happen to one athlete out in the race. Luckily, it wasn't our team. So we started, and it was pretty novel and fun, but you know, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, 5 hours go by. Now it's middle of the night. There's flying fish that are jumping out of the water, freaking us out. We're all wondering, what are we doing? We're in middle of it. We're super deep in middle of this swampland, this flooded plain. And one of our teammates was starting to struggle quite a bit. It's not atypical for teammates to have highs and lows during these long races. But Jason was really starting to break down mentally, physically, and we really had to rally together in this swampland and help carry his extra load, stay positive, and push through. And that first night, I remember we had to use the restroom, which is very typical when you're out for multiple days, but we're, again, in this flooded area. And I remember we all shared a bathroom spot in a little tiny island that was maybe, I'm trying to convert from feet to meters for everybody. So it was maybe no bigger than 4 meters by 6 meters. And we all shared this little tiny piece of dry land in a vast, you know, water land that we were wading in. And then we were crossing sections that were full of vegetation and couldn't see the bottom. We were actually wading at times. And of course, we are seeing the alligators, the stingrays, the snakes. And at one point, we did one of these deeper crossings and Jason shouted, "Ah," like he screamed, like something got him. We're like, "Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And we came out onto a drier spot and we looked and he had this red ring around his thigh. And it looked like it could have been, you know, something bit him. And we were thinking, and another one of these creepy crawlies that were in this area were piranha. And of course, we have little cuts and scrapes on us, and that blood apparently attracts the piranha. They're curious. They come by. So we figured, yeah, a piranha must have taken a bite out of his leg. And so we watched that closely and made sure he was doing all right, if maybe it was anything poisonous. And so... yeah, we're pushing through. And again, it's really hard to describe how long we're doing this for. I mean, doing anything for 20 hours is a long time. I mean, if you're doing one thing a day and taking a 4 hour nap, you know, that's kind of how you could relate, but we don't do that too often. Our mind likes mental breaks and rest. And we finally came out onto a bit of dry land and we were really struggling with the navigation because I'll also add this floodplain had no contour lines on it. So there was no change in elevation. It was completely flat. And of course, the trails are flooded. It's hard to discern what is your map trail and not. But Rob did a great job with the navigation and got us to the transition area, which was a transition to another leg, very similar to the one we just came through. But we have a sick teammate, and we're all kind of mentally broken down. We'd run out of food. I think we were anticipating the leg to be 12 hours. So we were 8 hours or more over that time. And we came into this transition, and it was a little tiny house, a little tiny farming community here, where all the volunteers and the staff were either brought in on a boat or an airplane. And this place was like an infirmary. One lesson we try to always remind ourselves in adventure racing is when you think, you know, the cards are stacked against you and there's no way you can continue moving forward, of course your teammates lift you up and push you forward. But the thing we try to always remind ourselves is every other team around us, even though we can't see them, they're all facing their own challenges. And this infirmary here had all different athletes hooked up with IVs, trying to get some real food in, just kind of camped out, wet clothing, wet gear strung everywhere. I mean, it looked like a scene out of a war zone. And we took quite a bit of time here to recover while other teams were out on this next leg, which the next leg was fairly unique because it was similar terrain, except we were able to bring in small pack rafts, which is a small inflatable boat that we can carry in our backpack, pull out and inflate when we want to paddle a section. It's pretty fun and unique. We've done some of that in Alaska on some big rivers, but we'd never done it in a floodplain like this. And it actually turned out that this next section was so challenging and so difficult. Only three teams had made it through without any assistance. And the rest of us that were, I guess, stuck or stranded at this transition area, all got flights out from tiny little planes that held, I think it held three of us at a time. And we were taking off and landing in a runway that was just a little piece of dry farmer's field. So it was quite the adventure. The race kind of had to recalibrate and begin again on the other side of this leg. But, you know, this story just really expresses the challenges and the excitement of a race. And of course, at the time, I wanted nothing to do with walking in these creepy, crawly, animal-infested waterways. All I wanted to do was be back home with my family, sitting on the couch, drinking a beer with my feet up. But now that I have the ability to do that, I look back very fondly at these challenges and these adventures we've had, and the teamwork that was necessary to get through these challenges and to see a very unique part of the world that not many people have had the experience to share. So we finished up that race, 7th or 8th place, not our best result at the World Championships, but still one of the races I look back with a fond memory because of that unique environment and the challenges we faced to push through. Expedition adventure races are typically won and lost by decisions that are made. When we're out there day in and day out, every hour, every minute, we're making decisions. And these decisions are crucial to how well we finish. Some are right, some are wrong. You want to make more right decisions. And it's absolutely paramount for us to be staying one step ahead at all times, because if we're thinking about our present needs, we're going to be neglecting and not planning for future needs. And we're constantly staying one step ahead in order to be competitive, planning out our sleep, planning out our food. And of course, before the races begin, we're planning out all of our resupply gear bins. Where do we need trekking poles? Where do we need a fresh set of shoes? How much food do we need for leg 5? How much food do we need for leg 3? All of these things takes planning and decision making. Then especially the navigation and the strategy. We're picking our routes. We need to think ahead. Right now, it's sunny and we can see clearly through the landscape, but in 5 hours from now, it's going to be pitch black. So one step ahead, what will the navigation look like and how does that affect our planning?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.